Program has been brought to you by Koshan 555. On January 23rd in New York, Koshan 555 kicks off its 10-city national culinary competition promoting heritage breed pigs and breed diversity. The tasting event will challenge five chefs, including Brad Farmery, Peter Hoffman, Bill Telepan, George Mendez, and Sean Rembold, to prepare a menu created from five heritage breed pigs, nose to tail. Pig-loving Epicureans will have a chance to sample these dishes along with wines from five different small wineries, as well as the opportunity to help select the king or queen of pork. In addition, guests will be treated to whole pig breakdown demonstrations, followed by a whole roasted heritage breed pig and dessert. General admission tickets start at $125 per person and are available at www.koshan555.com. That's www.koshan555.com.
Hey, hey, it's Let's Eat In. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and this is Heritage Radio Network. And we're at Roberta's Pizza right now on a frigid, happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I hope everyone has a nice day off, or if not, they're enjoying the spirit of the late Reverend in some way. So we have a special guest who's crawling on the table right now. It's Meatball. He's a dog here. That dog happens to belong to Chris, one of the owners of Roberta's. That was off topic, but actually it was more on topic because we're going to talk about beef jerky, all sorts of jerky, and the jerky takedown.
It's actually called the world's biggest jerk off.
Okay.
And it's going to be a sensational melange of 20 or 30 different beef jerkies. Oh, and I'm Matt Timms. Sorry, I didn't introduce myself. Thanks for having me on, Kathy.
Sure, thanks for coming. And Matt Timms is the founder, creator, commentator of the Chili Takedown, which has evolved into bacon takedowns, cookie takedowns, jerk takedowns now.
Yeah, yeah.
So many different varieties. So many
flavors. They've been going for 8 years now. In 2011, seriously, it's been going forever. And but they started in my living room. They were just tiny little stupid, you know, stonerish parties.
And nobody cared.
That nobody cared about except my best friends in the whole wide world. Mm-hmm. And I would cook for them, and then they started cooking for me, and then I brought it to a bar, and then the bar got bigger, and I needed a bigger space, and then, wow, it just kind of steamrolled into what it is now.
It's steamrolled into the Bell House?
The Bell House. Okay. That's, you know, it's a good 300, 400 capacity space. It's beautiful. And it's a great space in Gowanus.
Yeah.
You've been there, right?
Yeah, of course. Oh, yeah, sure.
You did your book opening party there.
I did. That's going to be next Sunday, so please come on down. I'm going to try to make a jerky of some sort. And so are a lot of folks for the first time as well, I'm sure.
Yo, and Kathy is pretty much the reason I got big, because Kathy's website is
because
pretty
I fed you
much,
lots of food? No.
No, because you publicized my events in the first place. I mean, it was the only way I was getting the word out to all the local food experts.
All my pleasure. So there was an article that came out, I think, almost 2 years ago now. In last spring of, you know, 2009, that was in the New York Times, and it was like cook-off fever. Competitive cooking is taking off in New York City, and we were mentioned in it, interviewed, followed for it for a week, and so were Nick Suarez, Theo Peck, and some other folks who have taken on this passion for cooking off at things like Matt's events and started hosting their own. Is it still as much of a trend as it was then, or has it gone crazy? Or
I don't think it's a trend anymore. I think it's safe to call it an established fact that Brooklyn is it's become a bit of a nice Brooklyn monolith. I mean, it's become something that's here to stay. They always said, remember when they said a bacon would jump the shark and people
and cupcakes.
That became, bacon cupcakes, bacon chapstick, bacon blech. I did this bacon event just as people were saying, wow, this is at the crest of bacon's popularity. And bacon hasn't gone anywhere. I'm still doing bacon events, and bacon hasn't jumped the shark. It's like plateaued. And so is the takedown.
Yeah.
So is the concept of these food events. Because in my mind, they're just parties.
Now, you've become something of an ambassador of cook-offs, too, because you've been traveling across the country throwing bacon takedowns, chili takedowns, any other goat takedowns, lamb takedowns.
Oh, goat takedown would be good.
Oh, sorry.
Liver takedown would be great.
Chop liver.
I mean, I love liver. There's a lot of takedowns. Like this jerky takedown may not be popular, and I really don't care because it's going to be amazing. How can it not be amazing? It's jerky. What? I love jerky.
Okay. A lot of people seem to think it's jerk chicken. I hear that around.
Well, maybe they'll come and be, surprised.
You know what? Maybe I'll make a jerk-flavored jerky.
Dude, that's a great idea.
Okay.
Like a Jamaican jerky.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a brilliant
idea. Yummy. Allspice.
Yummers.
Okay. Scotch bonnets.
Well, Scotch bonnets is great. If you can make it spicier, the better, in my opinion.
All right.
But sorry, I didn't answer your question about.
Oh yeah, why did you? Oh, sorry. Traveling around. Yeah.
Yeah.
How
is that going? It's going great. I'm doing a 6-city tour with Hormel around the country with bacon, using they're buying my
so
way
so by the
town.
Virtue of a sponsor, you get to travel.
Yeah. Like, and the lamb board. I'm going to do a lamb takedown series in 3 cities around the country, and then I'm going to do my unsponsored events here in New York and in Boston.
Sweet. And how have people in other cities taken to it? Like, what's the most takeoff crazed city right now aside from Brooklyn?
Well, you gotta figure San Francisco.
Or is there a more crazed one than Brooklyn?
No? I don't think anything's gonna beat, at least in the first place. Like, I was new to all these cities in the first place, but then it wasn't hard to sell out in San Francisco because those people are so serious about food and cooking and, you know, all the isms that go with the latest crazes in cooking, like locavores and
sustainability.
Cook-off?
That's a thing there, huh?
So I don't know if that's necessarily a thing, although you have a friend who's been running a cook-off.
Yeah, the SF Food Wars. Gina
right,
Chiro.
SF Food Wars. So, I mean, it's happening around the country these days, and so they're not unfamiliar out there.
So you never rolled into town, you're like, hey, and then nobody showed up?
No. That's yet to happen. New Orleans was a little funny, because New Orleans is a funny town. They're a bit...
Don't they have a lot of cook-offs of their own? Like,
no, they don't. Oh. They're just so serious about their food, though. Like, you eat a muffalata out there. Like, the food is fairly religious out
a
there, and it's cooked by New Orleansers.
Yeah.
So if I show up, they're going to think that I'm some sort of interloper, and I'm not. I only use local people.
Okay.
It's all about local food, local cooking.
So you choose a dish that they like, and...
I just choose cooks that are local, and the dish can be whatever. If it's a bacon dish, they can make whatever they want. I don't care. I'll give them the bacon.
What's the strangest experience at one of these other cities that you've been to? Strangest food dish, maybe, somebody made.
Oh, okay. The strangest food? Buh. You know what the weird thing is that I bring Tupperware to these things because I don't get to eat the food. Because if I did eat 20 or 30 bites of something, I'd probably fall asleep. And I can't be doing that. I have to be like a laser beam.
Well, that's what we all do.
Yeah, exactly. And that's fun. And then I'm not trying to party later. And that's why I bring the Tupperware, because I have to be on point. You know, I'm running around like a fool.
You can't have your mouth on flames with like fiery chili. Okay. Changing topics a little bit, we got kid sister Zoe here.
Yeah, this is my sister.
That's sister.
Sorry. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So Zoe helps out at these takedowns, but in her real life, or job, she is the director?
I'm the founding director.
Founding director of the Women's Education Project.
Yeah.
And that's no joke. It's a nonprofit organization that hoists an education project in India. All right, do you want to talk more about it?
Yeah, I was living in India for about 5 years, and I started this organization to help women who are from poor backgrounds to go to college. So they're basically women who are living in slum areas, but they have ideas of becoming a teacher or a healthcare worker or a lawyer, but poverty really traps them down. Mm-hmm. So we've started centers in Madurai, Tamil Nadu, and Hyderabad, Andhra Pradesh, to help these young women to get financial support, but also academic support and social support, so that when they go to college, they're prepared and they can do well and they can graduate and they can start careers.
Wow.
Yeah, we're womenseducationproject.org.
So you started, you created these centers.
Yeah. And we have two, and we're helping about just under 100 students. And we are launching our third center in Hyderabad this year and our fourth center in Bangalore. by the December 2011. We're going to have 4 centers in India.
Expansion.
I know, it's exciting.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
and
thank
how long
you.
Ago did you start it?
Officially in 2002, but if you look at officially, it's like me in a really small room with 5 students teaching English.
Yeah, yeah.
And then as I lived there for a while, I hired a local director to run the center in 2005, and I moved back here in about 2006.
Wow.
So it's kind of, it's just
thank
taking
you.
Off That's, right now. It's awesome. It's fun.
And it's for women because that they have less opportunities. It's
they
less
do. If you're in a family with the parents would probably give any money that they do have for education to the brothers and not to the girls. And so they're really looked over.
Hmm.
But it's amazing what a very little amount will do. We support one student with $250 for a year. And that means going to college, going to our centers in the evenings where we have a library and a computer lab. And in your vein, we have kitchen gardens. We're training them on kitchen gardens. So they're learning not just about like how to succeed in college, but also how to take care of themselves with nutrition.
Yeah, so you don't lose that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so a lot of 20 of our students in Hyderabad who are in the rural areas all have kitchen gardens on their roofs, and they're so excited about growing it. They're
You're
like competing
kidding.
With each other to grow kitchen
it's
gardens.
It's like the Alice Waters of India. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, wow. I you know, it's when you think of $250 and how, you know, we spend that on dinner or something or making jerky.
Well, we're also sponsored by the Chili Takedown sometimes as well.
Yeah.
I help out.
2 events, 10%
went
another. To WEP.
Remember there was a fun curry takedown that we did to benefit the Women's Education Project.
Yeah, yeah, that was great.
Really good.
Really, really fun.
Oh, those
as soon
delicious.
As I'm a millionaire, I can raise more money. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a little pretty good job now.
Yeah.
Doing what I can. But, I mean, she's making tons of more money fundraising.
Yeah, we're just
she's
starting to get the word out. It's really exciting.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
do you
people are saying
any, I don't know, charitable fundraising events or
we
initiatives?
Have, yeah, February 11th at Culture Fix, which is in the East Village. We have, I think it's on Clinton Street, February 11th, we have a Bhangra night. And so it's going to be Bhangra dancing, which is like really high energy Indian dancing.
That's the movie dancing.
Like
yeah.
Bollywood, yeah.
Yeah, Bollywood movie dancing.
Yeah, kind of.
Oh,
and
now
it's like,
I
want
to listen
really
to Disco Bhangra. You know that song? Oh,
no.
So good.
From the movie?
Yeah.
From the movie?
I don't
movie
know why I know that, but I just I've
what, Monsoon Wedding?
No. I think it was called Disco Bhangra.
Sounds like a party. But they teach you how to Bhangra, aren't they?
Yeah, I think we're going to get the Jane Fonda of India to be at our party. We're working on it. And Serena Jane. And she makes the party really fun. She's going to get it to be good.
Wow. She knows
a Bollywood movie star.
I do.
So you hang out with the movie stars in India.
Yeah, it means nothing out here. You can walk down the street and he's
that's
he's
not true
nobody.
Anymore.
Oh, really?
Oh, for him.
Yeah, he's walking down the street in New York. Nobody knows him out there. They lose their brains.
But then if he goes to Jackson Heights, people are like, oh, my God, there he is.
That's awesome.
Wow, that should be really fun. I'm going to mark my calendar. We have a fun song that we just found. It's called something jerk. Anyway, it's really fun.
It's apropos.
Yeah, let's check it out. We'll be right back.
You're a jerk. 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 So cocky with it, got my eyes shut, clothes like Rocky hit it. Got your girl on my swag, she loving them jerking songs like a new iPod. Just touch it and turn her on, and when the bass start beating in the waist, I'm beating. Done, I got on my way, I'm leaving. She like, where you going? I ain't got my shoes in first. I said, it's only a concern, and she yelled,
you're a jerk.
So I walked out the door, called DJ. Told him it's a function, he said, I'm on my way. He put up to the party, I took off my shirt, and got geeked up, everybody jerking. We was jerking to the right, jerking to the left, and she thought we better know what she was doing.
All right. Thank you, Jack, for putting on that song for us in honor of the Jerky Takedown coming up next Sunday.
That's World's biggest jerk off.
That's hosted by Matt Timms, who's here. And Zoe Timms is also here, and she'll be there at the Jerky Takedown. You should check it out. How much is it? $10?
$10 to get in. It's barely anything to stuff yourself with tons of jerky, 30 different cooks jerking off 30 different meats.
And you're going to have some professional chefs also making things on the side.
We've got restaurants like Rub, and then Rachel Graville's.
Gerald's Jerky.
Runs Gerald's Jerky.
Mylan,
she's going to be a judge.
You mentioned.
Myland?
No.
Oh, Myland? No, I didn't mention them, but if they have jerky, I should invite them. I'll call them up.
Sorry, I misremembered.
But Rub, anybody. Bam Romero's jerky.
Yeah,
that dude is coming.
Where is jerky? I mean, so New York doesn't really have much of a jerky tradition. It seems like something you'd get at a convenience store out in the sticks.
All I know is last year there was like this huge thing in New York Magazine that it was trending super hard. Maybe it stopped trending, but the only thing that's I can definitely count on is that there is a good group of people who love that stuff.
Yeah. Well, there's also it doesn't seem like something a lot of people here make at home, and I've never tried it. So I think that's a challenge.
I just started making it.
I think that's fun. I mean,
I thought you needed a dehydrator to make it, and you don't. You just need an oven
that
cooks super low.
Okay.
And dehydrators are just little warmers.
Do I need a meat slicer, or just do it as thin as I can?
Do it as thin as you can, and if you don't have a meat slicer, do you have a meat slicer, Kathy?
No.
Yeah, who does? So I the only solution I came up with for that was to, kind of half-freeze the meat. I don't know if that's cheating or a very uncool thing to do. But if the meat is half frozen, it's so easy to slice it.
Mm-hmm.
You can grab it and grapple with it and slice it as thin as you want.
That's a good idea. I'll try to do
that
half frozen.
That's a super smart idea.
I mean, the way I see it, if this is one of the most primitive foods ever.
Yeah.
It's preserving meat because you killed a whole cow and you gotta save it. And if mountain men and Eskimos and, Inuit.
What?
Anyway, if all sorts of people throughout time have been doing it. Let's give it a try.
Wait a minute. I just had Inuit salmon jerky and when I worked in Alaska, 12 years ago, but whatever. It was amazing.
Salmon jerky. That sounds good.
It was delish. And they smoked it outside. It was just dangling outside their shacks. And, I was just grating salmon all day. And we'd come back and every now and then you'd make friends with an Eskimo and he'd be way into being super nice and give you some. And it was ridiculously yummy.
In Wisconsin, I had venison jerky. My friend's brother
shot
a deer and made venison jerky.
Yeah, there's a woman's coming who's going to bring venison. She's bringing a whole haunch of venison, and she's going to debone it and teach everyone how to debone it there at the event.
That's great.
And she killed the deer herself. So that's awesome.
That's the way to do it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. I killed a deer 2 years ago.
And some quails and chickens, remember that?
Oh, always. Well, yeah, constantly.
Chickens? When are you killing chickens?
Well, I'm going hunting this February. Never killed a chicken. And I would never do that, especially in front of Kathy Irway, who owns chickens. I love chickens.
We love chickens.
Do you have names for your chickens, by the way?
I do. There's Yoko, Meme, and Beaker.
In India, my friend's family had Cleopatra and Jesus.
Aww. Chickens are smart.
Chickens, they are.
Yeah, they are smart. They're very social creatures. They get along.
That's what I heard. They're smarter than dogs. Am I wrong?
No. I mean, yes, you're wrong.
I'm wrong. But they'll come when you call, and they're friendly, and I heard they nuzzle, and maybe I'm wrong. I've never owned a chicken.
I don't know.
I thought they nuzzled.
They're not that cuddly. Yeah.
They don't appear cuddly. I thought I was going to be pleasantly surprised.
Maybe they will be with you.
I doubt it. Yeah. Those dogs. Where'd our dog go?
Oh, Meatball left.
Oh.
Anyway.
You're just hanging out there in the chair being cool.
So you've been recently playing around with making jerky, correct?
Yeah.
What is your favorite meal to make just for yourself, though? Would it still be chili? Because I know you have strong attachment to chili.
I mean, I guess I've grown since then. I don't have a favorite dish anymore, but I like to think that I can improvise a lot more than I used to in the kitchen.
Okay.
Because that just takes, you know. But I mean, that was the great thing about chili, is that it was something that you could make when you were starving, and you could make a lot of it, and you could get snobbish about it for no other reason than other people have serious opinions about it. Why not have your own? Make some crazy stuff. It gets better in the kitchen as the flavors wed. Just make a big pot of something. Mm-hmm. That's always fun for everybody.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it could lead to a party, or it could lead to you actually eating food for a week, which is nice if you're starving in New York. I'm not really starving in New York anymore, so I like to. I've been adding some pounds. I've been eating out a lot, which is so uncool. You know, we're not supposed to eat out.
No, you're not supposed to eat out.
Okay. Well,
no,
I'm not gonna. I've gone through a couple weeks of eating out. It ain't cool.
All right. Well, what's your favorite? Okay, so say you're going on a romantic date meal. Do you have any suggestions on the perfect date meal?
I don't know. I mean,
to really get in the mood.
To get her in the mood.
Yeah.
Probably best to, I don't think about food ever when I think about getting someone in the mood. I think about booze. I mean, maybe I shouldn't, but like, I don't know, the whole concept of eating food in front of a person that you are getting to know.
That's.
I mean, what if something gets in your teeth? I mean, I'm not the guy to ask about this because I'm so paranoid about that.
Well, it seems that everyone eats together for like first, you know, getting to know you.
I love gathering people together that I already know, and I could give a crap what they think how I'm eating, and I can push it through my face and talk about stuff. I think, yeah, food is about getting people together and partying,
okay,
and hanging out. But if I'm getting to know someone, I don't want to be like having, I don't want barbecue sauce all over my face.
So Matt's date meal is nothing.
I did break up with a girl while eating chicken wings at a restaurant. It was the worst. I was covered in sauce and explaining to her how this isn't going to work out. And she's just looking at me like, yeah, I don't think it's going to work out either. You look disgusting. It's part of the reason I don't do that.
Best breakup meal.
Yeah, maybe you should break up when you're on a food date.
On a food date.
That's a good breakup thing to do.
Buffalo wings. I'll remember that one.
Yeah.
Zoe, how about you? Do you get in the kitchen much, cook?
I kind of survival food right now, just find food where I can. But
you're a nonprofit.
I'm a nonprofit. I'm getting into soup. Is that what I want to do?
Cool.
I just made a yellow lentil soup the other day. It was good.
Yellow lentil, yum. Is there any things that you would particularly find date worthy?
Date worthy?
Either to cook or to order out.
I just had dumplings last night. That was fun.
Oh. Yo, you know what you should talk about? You should talk about Indian food. Because I visited her once in India and had the best meal of my life out there. And
nice.
It was only because Zoe took me out to a woman's village, or the village that this woman lived in where she grew up in, and met this old, like, 100,000-year-old woman who cooked for us and made us this eggplant dish that I'm never going to forget.
Ooh.
My friend's grandmother. My friend's mother. But it's really cool there because you will go to, like, a village and they'll... Sometimes we'll put like a banana leaf down and give you a huge, huge pile of rice, like massive pile of rice. And then there's like a whole order of how you eat, but like you learn how to eat with your right hand only.
Yeah, you know what you do with your left hand.
And just gorge yourself.
What do you do with your left hand?
You wipe your butt with it. Right, Zoe?
That's true.
So yeah, you can't use the same hand to eat with.
Right.
Right.
You or can't shake even hands, give money, money, nothing. All right hand.
Oh.
All okay. right-handed. It's a bummer if you're left-handed.
It's actually a much cleaner process than what we do here, if you want to know the truth.
Well, yeah.
I never pay attention around. To... I don't know. I don't want to think about that.
I know this is a food show.
What do left-handed people do? What do left-handed people do in
There's
India?
There's no left-handed.
There's no
what?
Left-handed people
you,
in India?
You train to use your right.
That's effed. Are you left-handed?
No.
Someone we know is, and that's not cool. Because left-handed people, aren't they smarter?
I know, they're kind of righteous,
they
too. They're like, we are allowed to use our left hand.
That's insane.
What?
I'm glad we live in a country where we can wipe with either hand. We can do whatever we want.
I'm glad we don't have to like be reminded about that every time we like, you know, eat. I don't know.
Unless
I don't
know. I'm around, apparently.
Yeah,
sorry.
Exactly. I don't think so.
Do you do with a banana leaf? I'm trying to figure out. Is that just the plate?
Or? Yeah, it's the actual plate. And there's also a way of if you enjoyed the meal, I think you fold it towards yourself when you're done. And if you didn't like the meal, you fold it away from yourself.
Why would you ever do this? That?
Well, you never do.
You never do. Okay.
Unless you're like a tourist.
What if you just don't fold it? Then you're an idiot.
Somebody will fold it for you. Wait it on there.
So you got to finish everything though, too.
Yeah,
right?
You do. I've eaten. Yeah. I've been fed so much there that I've literally cried. Like I wanted to just. I mean, they just keep giving you more and more food, and it's amazing. But
so
then
it's like
you
a Chinese
really get,
mother thing. Yeah.
It really is. Yeah.
Eat. Food, no.
And if you don't eat, isn't it some sort of slight against the family? Or?
Well, no. Really.
I think it would.
Well, no. I mean, they really like to see you eat.
I think that should be the way in every custom and every restaurant. I hate it when I see people not finishing their meals. I mean, I can understand if, I don't know, you don't like it, it's too much.
I'm getting fat because of attitudes like that.
Sorry.
I'm fatter than you saw me last, aren't I?
No, you're not.
Aw.
I can't tell. You're wearing a huge Brooklyn sweatshirt, so.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. It's a cold day out there. So what was the eggplant dish? I keep wondering. Was it chopped up? Was it like all mushy? Was it like a baba ganoush?
No.
Spicy?
It was, they were little.
It was
Indian
little eggplants, so they're unbelievably flavorful.
3 inches
so
across,
good.
They were halved, and then they were laid out, and they were simmering in this sort of...
Definitely cooked in lots of oil.
Tons of oil, and it wasn't like a tandoori sauce or something like you'd expect in, you know, Indian food in the northern Indian restaurants. We were in the south of India.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was really spicy, but
very,
I don't remember
spicy, cause it's like
it being
Andhra
sauce
Pradesh
heavy.
Lots of spice there.
It was super subtle. It was brilliant.
I just... took 2 kg back of turmeric that is sitting in my cabinet. If anybody wants turmeric,
oh, I would love
please
to
contact me.
I would love some.
Oh, really?
You know, turmeric is
some.
One of those things that like a lot of people will have in their cabinets and they'll break it out once a year to make curry or something, but it really doesn't stay powerful and flavorful after
this
a while.
This was
fresh,
made.
You gotta have it fresh.
Yeah, it's extremely fresh, really, really good.
Or else it tastes like nothing. It's just yellow.
You can put it all over your face, too.
Yeah, and it gets all over your lips and your, like, yellow mouth.
No, but what is it about it that Indian women put it all over their face? They smear
really?
It all, and they use
in
these
this,
yellow women.
It's what?
It's a paste that you put on your face because it's cleansing, so it gets rid of your pimples and things like that. And also on your hands. You can see some on your hands as well, so... Once in a while, it's a little bit surprising.
It's nasty seeing a yellow lady walking down the street. It's gross.
No.
But they wash it off, right? It must take a long time.
No, it does stain. It stains for a couple of days, so you're slightly yellow.
What?
It's surreal. I don't know. It's like wearing your hair curlers now.
Whoa. But it makes your skin not break out in pimples?
Yeah, no, it's
What's
amazing.
What's better,
it's
having pimples or having a yellow
really
face?
I go yellow face, actually. Yeah.
It only lasts a couple days. And they have amazing skin, so I think we should learn from them.
Mm. No, I've heard that turmeric has all sorts of medicinal properties.
Yeah, it's really good for you.
I never thought of it as a balm of some sort.
And it's good for your lungs, apparently,
Maybe
too.
I'll show up at your takedown with the yellow face for a while.
I can't wait for you to come. And thank you for doing it, by the way. This is such an experimental takedown. It was so cool when Kathy said she was going to potentially do it. I was super pumped.
Yeah, well, I'm going to get some Heritage Foods meat. I don't know. I'm thinking
pork. Pork. Super good idea.
Is anybody else doing pork?
I don't know. Hopefully. Yeah. We'll see a couple. I want to see venison. I want to see pork, beef. I want to see a vegetarian. If any vegetarian is out there listening, please step forward with a vegetarian jerky. Think up something. There's got to be a way. I just want to see it happen.
That has got to be a first.
I don't know. I don't think it is. Because I see in the hippie stores, like, there's going to be there's something in bars that's been dehydrated. And
there's something big. You need a big slab, or else you're going to have to,
mulch it. Mulch
yeah.
it. You mulch it, and then you dry it.
So it's like fruit leather.
Yeah. So, you know, I'd even count that. Who knows if the audience will. Everyone's going to be voting, but...
I mean, there's a lot of things like, you know, dried apricots, dried fruit, dried sun-dried tomatoes. That's jerky, sort of. That's veggie jerky.
Sure. Okay. There's no rules at this thing. There's no rules.
All right.
If anybody else wants to make their own rules, it's completely up to them. But I have no rules at this. Whatever people bring is dope.
I can't wait to see what happens. Please come and join and see as well. Next Sunday at the Bell House, check out chilitakedown.com. And also check out womenseducationproject.org and see how you can help out with that bongra disco or whatever.
Yeah, and give her lots of money.
Thanks, guys. I'll see you next week. I'm your host, Kathy. I'd like to thank Jack Inslee in the controller booth and everyone at Heritage Foods or Heritage Radio Network.
A man can't crawl when he knows he's still alive.